of rising food prices have rippled through the economy, from governments imposing price controls and trade restrictions to consumers cutting back in other areas as food takes up a growing chunk of their wallet share. This is especially true in emerging markets where food represents a large share of overall consumer spending. Global food prices have now surged 65% since the start of the COVID pandemic. Add that to the recent years of dry weather, and it's been the perfect storm for commodity food prices to rise. I'm Christy Eye, and you're watching The Cost of Everything. The price of everything that goes into producing crops is surging, which threatens to fan global food inflation even more. And even with the rising food prices, farmers are facing increasingly tough margins. So let's take a quick look at the price of mangoes over in Australia. Over the last decade, the cost to produce mangoes have doubled. So to mitigate, farmers have taken steps like miniaturizing the trees and reducing diesel consumption. But the current surge of crude oil is still crushing margins. And it's not just oil. Fuel, water, fertilizer, and labor. All four inputs have gone up in the past couple of years. Prices for fertilizer, which is used for practically all crops, have risen dramatically in the past year. And in the US, farmers on average budget about $700 to $850 per acre for input costs for cheaper commodities such as corn and soybeans. But in 2022, that number has hovered around $1,150. So let's look at the average inflation of basic input costs that goes into that $1,150 for planted corn. You have a 5% inflation in chemicals like pesticides and herbicides. Then you have 13% inflation in seeds, since you have to have the latest varieties that are stronger or more resistant. Machinery and equipment are also going to cost you an additional 18% than previous years. And then you have fuel and fertilizer that you're seeing 22% inflation with the rising diesel costs. And finally, labor. That's an additional 30% as everyone's basic cost of living has shot up and wages need to keep up for some families to continue to work. Now let's bring in Samarandu Mohanty, Asia Regional Director for International Potato Center, joining us all the way from Lima, Peru, for more details. So to start off, which segment of the food supply chain is getting impacted the hardest? Is it the farmers, the grocers, or the processors?
I would say the most impact groups are farmers and the consumers, not the people in between those in the supply chain there. Farmers primarily getting impacted because as you said, the rise in the input price, particularly fertilizer prices, energy prices there. And also on the top of that, we have seen the weather uncertainties in many countries, either flood, drought, all these things happening there. So farmers getting definitely impacted through that. Then you have the passing through of prices, high cost to the consumers. So the consumers are getting impacted. But one thing I would like to mention that the consumers in the developed countries are being impacted a lot more than the consumers in Asia. Because the way the food processing sector in terms of concentration there, you have probably seen the record profit of grain companies, meat packing company in the US and Europe. But you don't see that in Asia so much. So I don't think I think in the US, the price increase have been jacked up by all this, the food company and the meat, the company in the meat, because they're too big. They're the price maker. But in Asia, they're all small. They're not as big as Tyson, Cargill, ADM there. So they're basically price takers. So they pass through the price increase, but do not jack it up beyond that there. So I would say the developed country consumers are being impacted a lot more than the developing countries consumers there, just because the structure of the food processing industry.
And now, how much more expensive is sustainable agriculture, and why is it so much more expensive to produce than their quote-unquote unsustainable counterparts?
Yeah, I don't think sustainable agriculture is any expensive than the unsustainable or the conventional practice, I would put that way, conventional production system. But just remember that all our policies are kind of formulated to support the conventional systems, like free inputs, subsidized fertilizers. All these things are geared up to produce the the cereals or basic staple there in the thing, the conventional practices. They encourage intensive input applications to get certain amount of output there, yield there. So though it's mostly policy driven or the policy induced, which is making the sustainable expensive as compared to the conventional there. But if you give a level playing field, both sustainable and the conventional, and I think sustainable will not be money any more expensive. For example, the externality happens in if you look at parts of Asia, many parts of Asia, particularly the Northwest India, where the straw burning takes place. Right after the rice harvest, paddy harvest, they burn the straw because the window is very short to plant the wheat crop, because we only have 15 days to clear the field and plant wheat there. So they are forced to burn straw there. But the straw burning affects millions of people in Delhi or surrounding area there. So there's externality there. Farmers are not forced to pay for this health hazard they're causing there. So they burn it and they plant the next crop there. So they're partly policy induced, partly externality, which making the sustainable practices a lot more expensive. It looks expensive than the non-sustainable there. But I would say in a completely free market, no policy intervention, sustainable will not be any expensive than the conventional practice there.
It seems that some of the inflated food costs are actually artificial, at least part of it, as it seems to be more so policy driven as the EU plans for a more sustainable food production system. So how much of the food inflation is actually coming from policy, and is this move towards sustainable farming decreasing yields?
I think in the sustainable practices, one thing I would say, when we work with the farmers, thousands of smallholders there, there's a cost involved in the short run for moving from conventional to sustainable there. And eventually, in the long run, they are much more beneficial. But the farmers really not looking for the long run, they're looking for the short run. What happens to my yield next year or year after that? You know, but if they do practice sustainable practices, then long term wise, their yield will be much greater. You know, they will be much more soil health there. So everything will improve. So the yield will increase, cost will decline there. But the problem is that I don't think sustainable practices, particularly in the Europe, is driving the food inflation. You know, the European sustainable practices they are recommending in terms of the lowering fertilizers, lowering the pesticide, chemical pesticide. I don't think that is driven the current food price inflation we see. It is driven, policy driven, but it's mostly partly driven by the developing country in Asia or the other parts of the world. They're taking those restrictive trade restriction there. Export tax, export ban, those type of things, that is inflating definitely the food prices, not the sustainable practices. I think we have to clear the set of policies directed towards the trade restriction, that inflating the prices, you know. So not the sustainable practices by policies.
And now, what crops are getting impacted the most by the rising input costs? Are farmers shifting into specific crops because they are easier and don't require as much fertilizers while yielding higher harvests?
Correct. I think mostly the rising input costs are the other things. They're getting impacting the cereal crops, mostly rice. Right now it's rice in most part of Asia. It's a kharif crop. Then eventually next crop will be wheat, which will be impacted then. And many cases, farmers are moving to maybe less input intensive crops, as like lentils, pulses, millets in some cases, but that's not very wide scale, I would say. That's very isolated cases where farmers are moving into some of these crops. And particularly they move to other crops because of the monsoon deficit in parts of Asia, India there, particularly India. They moved from rice to other crop because there was a monsoon deficit though, so they could not plant the rice, so they moved to millets or other crops there. But that's, as I said, that's very isolated case, not wide scale, you know, in Asia particularly.
Samarendu Mohanty, thank you so much for your insights. Now, as basic commodities make their way down the supply chain onto your table, let's take a look at the restaurant industry. Restaurants are not being spared from these issues. On top of dealing with the surging inflation and food costs, operators have experienced supply delays or shortages of key food ingredients. Restaurants are now paying higher prices for many of their food items as their margins are being squeezed. Profitability is down from pre-pandemic levels for the vast majority of restaurants. Now, when we come back, could climate change be a secret driver of inflation? There is a theory that extreme weather might be a driving force for higher inflation, and we'll have more after the break.
The Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Количество голодающих в Африке вырастет до 100 миллионов человек.
En fait, la situation la plus compliquée, c'est avec les riz, les coups de riz et les blés.
Новороссийск глубоководный порт находится под санкциями. Основными морскими портами, которые доставляли зерно, в том числе в Африку, были, конечно, украинские порты, в первую очередь Одесса. Сейчас они заминированы.
Il est évident qu'un pays comme le Soudan, un pays comme la Somalie, un pays comme Djibouti, des pays comme certains pays de l'Afrique du Nord, disons, mais c'est pas au sud du Sahara, mais qui seront affectés.
До полумиллиарда человек в мире могут остаться без хлеба, потому что не будут доступны минеральные удобрения.
Эффект лавин, где толстый сохнет, там худой дохнет. Вот это самое происходит в Шри-Ланке сейчас.
Относительно запрета вывоза этого зерна очень четко ответил наш президент. Любые каналы открыты.
Голод может возникнуть, конечно, потому что это не первый раз в Африке голод, да?
Задача Российской Федерации, как ответственного поставщика продовольствия, эти поставки дружественным странам продолжать.
When all truths seem wrong, when all rules just don't hold, and a new world is yet to shape out, disdain becomes the etiquette. An engagement equals betrayal. When so many find themselves worlds apart, we choose to look for common ground.
Когда ты выходишь, и, честно говоря, аж волосы шевелятся дымом, потому что столько мусора. И вот бочки, 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 миллионы бочек. В общем, когда половодье, естественно, это все поднимается, уходит в море.
Зачастую вот экологические все Лозунги и экологические мероприятия, они глобально ни на что не влияют. Вот они просто создают видимость движухи, но глобально человечество как переводило со все увеличивающейся скоростью ресурсы, так и переводит. То есть, ну, тут как бы подход нужно менять.
Какое-то место силы тянет сюда просто. Вот. Очень многие люди, которые здесь раз побывали, потом приезжают снова и снова. Вроде бы разруха, вроде как бы так грустно смотреть, а что-то вот такое в нем есть.
Такая натуральная, чистая Арктика, как она и должна быть в наших глазах.
Чистить Арктику – это не просто какие-то слова, знаете, там какие-то лозунги или что-то еще. Для меня это настоящая судьба.
Это смысл всей моей жизни.
Could climate change be a secret driver of inflation? Well, there is a theory that extreme weather worsened by climate change is a hidden cost of food inflation, which threatens to push up already high prices of food. Heavy rainfall, flooding, heat waves, and droughts erode agriculture infrastructure and the workers' ability to stay on the job. China has suffered multiple weather disruptions from flash floods to severe droughts. And earlier this year in August, the country issued its first drought emergency as central and southern provinces suffered weeks of extreme heat exceeding 40 degrees Celsius. Now, this has jeopardized crop production as rice is very sensitive to weather, and nearly 60% of that is rain-fed farming. In Europe, dairy and meat prices are rising as droughts dry out the land meant for grazing and growing grain for feed. And meanwhile, historic rains and floods in Europe and South Korea, that makes it hard for communities to rebuild and get back to work, causing massive delays in supply chains. So while extreme weather is affecting supply, research hasn't yet quantified the exact impact extreme weather has on inflation. And now we bring in once again Samarandu Mohanty, Asia Regional Director for International Potato Center. So, first off, now, what country's crop yield is being affected most by this extreme weather we're seeing this year?
Yes, now, particularly the rice now being impacted in many South Asia, Southeast Asian country, particularly India, Bangladesh. So there are a lot of uncertainties of the crop yield in some key rice growing countries in Asia right now.
And now, what about the livestock? Are livestock also being affected by extreme weather?
Well, livestock not being directly impacted, but it will be impacted through increase in the feed price. If the rice price, wheat price goes up, that's going to affect the feed price. And that's, you know, many livestock are fed the 100% broken rice. For example, in India, 100% broken rice is fed to rice. And same time, 100% broken rice is exported to West African countries. So India has put export ban on 100% broken rice to make sure there's enough feed materials in the country. So livestock will be impacted if the grains are impacted indirectly.
Now, we've talked about the food inflation problem that we're facing today. Where do you think the problem is mainly stemming from? Is it policy driven as farmers have less access to fertilizers and higher costs due to sustainable farming practices? Or is it demand driven as they're just too many mouths to feed? Or is it supply chain driven or something else entirely?
I would put that it's a combination of all, but most recently it will be probably mostly due to the supply shocks we are seeing, due to the weather uncertainties in both Asia, Europe, and America area. So this trend will be more driven by the weather, and then the reaction by the countries in terms of the putting intervention. Particularly many India has put export ban on wheat, export ban on 100% broken rice, then export ban on some other type of rice, but they have put also export tax on certain type of rice. Indonesia has put export ban on Indonesia palm oil there. Egypt, Ukraine, so a lot of different countries have put policy restriction there to make sure that there's enough food available in the domestic market there. So that is also impacting the food inflation recently. But it all started, I would say, going back to the beginning of the pandemic, when it started with a problem with the logistics, transportation, labor shortages. Then we have issues with the war, you know, Ukraine-Russia war. That impacted wheat crop, and particularly the wheat exports, sunflower exports, so fertilizer, the input side there. But now it's mostly weather-driven. So it's combination of everything is kind of culminating in having a record level of food prices in globally.
So it's really like the perfect storm.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm, exactly. And the thing is that the storm has already reached the peak in the developed country, particularly US and Europe. But the storm is probably now starting or beginning, will be taking another three months to peak. Because there's always a lag between the price response in the Asia versus price response in the developed country. Because a lot of Asian countries put policy intervention, you know, restriction, just like export tax, export ban, and keep domestic price low for a while. So we are seeing that lag there. So we'll after 3-4 months, if the global prices continue to fall, then you will see the Asian food prices peak and they start fall. But that's remain to be seen what happens to the global price.
The United Nations World Food Program, though, they have come out to say that this crisis is actually about affordability, meaning that there is food available, but that these prices are just really high. So do you agree, or is it just putting a nicer spin on things?
No, I think, you know, there are certain section of the society, the poorer people mostly, they are impacted by the food price increase, and the affordability can come into the play there. But particularly in Asia, they have a lot of social safety net program. You talk about India or Bangladesh, where the food prices are very subsidized for the poor, you know, lower income group there. So they have not been impacted by the affordability part so much. But in Africa, the affordability part will be a big play because there's not a lot of safety net program there. They're impacted by the global prices. So I think that plays in certain part of the world, this affordability part, definitely.
Thank you so much, Samarandu Mohanty, for being here with us today. Now, who are the winners and losers of the actual food prices? Food prices have hit their highest rate of growth in some 43 years. And unfortunately, it is hitting the low-income people the hardest as food eats into a greater percentage of their budgets. Now, between July of 2021 to July of 2022, the price of eggs jumped 38%. Coffee jumped 20%. Chicken, 16%. Bread, 13%. So is anyone really winning here? Well, yes, because the money always flows upstream. And many of the chemical companies making fertilizer are boosting their bottom line. Monsanto is also building stronger, though controversial, seeds. Potash and Terra are selling fertilizer to boost crop yields. So those industries are in a good position as the overall global food supply is shrinking relative to demand as the world population grows. So how long is food inflation going to last? Well, it looks like it's here to stay for the foreseeable future as so many policies are unintentionally yielding lower crop harvests. Food prices will continue to increase in the near term, but should peak sometime in 2023 as supply stabilizes and farmers invest into expanding their acreage. Thanks for watching. I'm Christy I, and I'll see you next time right here on The Cost of Everything.